chapter 2, beginning with verse 25. Now behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with a husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continually to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Israel. There's nothing else indicated in Scripture about Simeon and Anna. But what we do know about them is that they were longing for the consolation and the redemption of Israel. The idea of consolation, we understand what that means, that sense of comfort, that God would come and rescue his people and bring comfort to them. And this hope and this comfort involves salvation. It involves the forgiveness of sins. It involves the saving of the lost. And the Holy Spirit has come and ministered through Simeon and Anna at this time after Christ was born. Simeon was waiting, says, longing for the consolation of Israel. That is the Messiah, the one who is to come, the one that the prophets had spoken of, as we have sung tonight. Come, thou long expected Jesus. They were waiting and longing. And he was a devout man, and part of his righteous character is that he was longing for what God was going to do. And in Hebrews 9, it tells us that Jesus is coming again for those who long for him. It says, "And it is just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." The coming of Christ at Christmas can't be separated from the return of Christ, the second coming of Christ at the end of the age when he will come. We sing "Joy to the World" as a Christmas hymn, but as you look at that, it really speaks of what happens when Christ comes and he returns and establishes his rule perfectly and fully on the earth. We get glimpses of it. We don't get the fullness of it until Christ returns. And so we all live in an age in which there's tension and there's heartache and there are trials and there's grief. And we live between this now and not yet in terms of the reality of the comfort of the gospel. And we feel that tension. And so it begs the question, what are you looking for? What are you longing for in terms of consolation? Where are you looking for consolation? And is there consolation? We wait and look for things that will make our lives better, that will, in a sense, give us more meaning, a deeper sense of who we are, give us a sense of identity. And the crazy thing is we look for that in all the wrong places. And there are lots of things out there that the world is throwing at us. And advertisers spend a lot of money telling you that you have to have this, that, or whatever it is they're selling in order to have that sense of fulfillment in life. And there are lots of hopes focused tonight, perhaps, on something that's under the tree, or maybe they hope will be under the tree tomorrow. And the reality is those things won't fill the longing that we have in our hearts. We all know that things are not the way they're supposed to be. And God says to fix our hope completely on the grace to be brought at the revelation of Christ. that we are made for so much more. The idea of that consolation and comfort is from the word that means to come alongside of. And the word Emmanuel, as we have sung tonight, Emmanuel is God with us. God came alongside, entered into our lives. So Jesus is the hope of Israel, the comfort spoken of by the prophets. The blessing and hope of God's consolation is here for all who admit their need and recognize that they need a Savior and receive Him by faith. And Christ reminds us, Christmas reminds us that we are bankrupt, that we need God's gracious gift of His own Son to solve our deepest problems. That's the message of Christmas. That we need God to do something amazing for us to come to know Him. John Piper talks about this passage in Luke. He says, consolation probably speaks to those longings for healing and restoration from all the past losses and miseries of life. Redemption probably speaks to our need to be delivered from powers that still hold us in bondage. Consolation and redemption. We meet those and we need those as we live our lives and as we live in the face of death. As we live our lives, consolation and redemption in Christ free us from the daily burden of having to try to prove ourselves, of having to try to create a record, a righteous record that we can take to God so that He would approve of us and that would be pleasing to other people. One of the things that makes the holiday so stressful is that we spend a lot of energy trying to, in some way, create a record to prove ourselves to family members, to friends, to those around us. And the gospel frees us from that. Celebrate Christmas, enjoy Christmas by getting off the treadmill of trying to create some sort of a record before God or before others. And let others enjoy Christmas by letting them get off the treadmill that you have set up for them. And then we can truly rest in the consolation that Jesus has provided for us. And Jesus brings consolation in the face of death. Back several days ago, back on December 16th, Christopher Hitchens died. You may not know who he is. Some of you may be familiar. Christopher Hitchens was one of the leading, what would be called, militant atheists of our day. He was very much sort of on the move against religion and the practice of faith. I don't know if he carried his worldview and his atheistic, naturalistic view all the way to the grave. I don't know what happened. But if one is consistent with that worldview, then we're really left with a life that is meaningless and a death that is meaningless. But Christmas shouts out the incarnation, God made man, the resurrection, the ascension of Christ tell us that there is hope in the face of the certainty of our own death. Leo Tolstoy asked this question, is there any meaning in my life that my inevitable death cannot destroy? Is there any meaning in my life that my inevitable death cannot destroy? If you look at the philosophy of some, the answer is no. But if you look at the gospel, if you look at the incarnation, the answer is yes. Jesus gives a meaning that can't be destroyed by our inevitable death. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, to live is Christ, to die is gain. You get more. It continues. Now, Irma Bombeck said that guilt was the gift that keeps on giving. But the reality is, it's the gift of Christ is the gift that keeps giving through eternity. Jesus is the gift that won't wear out. Everything that we open tonight or tomorrow morning will wear out one day. It'll all wear out. It'll fall apart. Your closet, your storage room is filled with presents, gifts, things from Christmases past. They're like the ghost of Christmas past in your home, reminding you that they wore out. They broke. They don't fit anymore. Whatever it is, they're there as that reminder. And everything that we open today, everything that's under the tree right now, within a few days, weeks, months, or years, it will end up in that closet, or it'll be lost, stolen, sold, thrown out, traded, or given away. But Jesus Christ is the only foundation on which we can build our lives. He's the only solid foundation. Only with Christ do we get more upon death. We can't say to live is money and to die is gain. We can't say to live is popularity and to die is gain. To live is a promotion, to die is gain. To live is accomplishment or awards or achievement or fashion or whatever it is, and to die is gain. Because none of those things we don't gain as we die. But to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And none of those things will die for you, nor will they forgive you, but Christ does. We celebrate Jesus because only He brings consolation in the face of life and death. So when you face those trials, will you know the comfort of Jesus? I hope that's the case. Do you know the one who is the consolation and redeemer? Will you be able to say with Simeon, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. My prayer and desire is that we would go in peace tonight in the consolation of Emmanuel, God with us. Let's stand together as we sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Please join me.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting the Godhead see, hail the incarnate.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man
who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives life to every man was coming into the world.
He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God.
The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Thanks be to God. As we prepare to sing our last song, Silent Night, I invite you to come and fill around the sanctuary. And we'll, if you have your candles, hold those. And we'll begin to light the candles and let it fill the sanctuary.
Sleep in heaven.
receive the benediction from God. May the grace and peace, mercy of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Emmanuel, God with us, be with you. And all God's people said, amen. Merry Christmas.